بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد In Surah Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the journeys of the people of Mecca. Now I remember being in Mecca Mukarrama and our people from Canada, they were staying at a hotel called the Eilat Helnan. And then I thought that was a very strange name to have for a hotel. But then I realized later that they got the word Eilat from... Anybody stayed at the Eilat? I've been to Mecca or something. They got the word Eilat from this surah. The Eilat fi Quraysh. The word Eilat, and we're going to be speaking about it. And it means the journeys that they were accustomed to in the winter and in the summers.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف.
This surah, it talks about the aqidah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It talks about tawheed. And it speaks about some of the huge blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the people of Quraysh with. Their journey of the summer, the journey of the winter was to Yemen. So when it would get cool, they would go to Yemen. And in the summer times, they would journey to Sham. And these were their two major journeys. And if you realize, Mecca al-Mukarrama was a city of hills and valleys. So they didn't have vegetation there. And so their business didn't come from being farmers and so on. They were businessmen. And so they would go to Yemen or they would go to Sham. And their livelihood would come from these major trips of the summer and the winter. And if we look at the profile of that Abdul Shams that we were making, that character that we made up, would he be involved in something like this? Indeed he would. Because we said his father was a merchant, and then he had slaves and so on. So most likely he was going out on these journeys, and he knew it very well. And he was either helping his father, or maybe trying to make a place for himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ Someone like him would understand it very, very well. Because they knew that their entire livelihood would come from this. The word ilf in Arabic has the meaning of something being recognized to someone else, or someone being accustomed to something. Ilf, something someone's accustomed to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْش إِلَافِ قُرَيْش for the accustomed journeys of the Quraysh. The Quraysh, they were a proud people. Arabs in general, they were very proud, and they would fight over this sharaf, this nobility and proudness, so much so that they would fight over Zamzam, or they would fight over who would get the honor of giving water to the Hujjaj. And other things, that it would be very, very serious how much this would this honor would go, to the point that they would fight inter-tribal warfare because of this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of those things that make them proud. And then He turns their attention to who they should thank for all these things that make them proud. The surah before Surah Quraysh is Surah Al-Fil. And in fact, in one of the masahif, there's not even a Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning of this surah, meaning Surah Al-Fil, and then Surah Quraysh comes right after. And you'll see how they're interconnected. Surah Al-Fil, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fil mentions how He saved them from harm. Now a person, for example, could be, they may be a pauper or someone who's poor and needy in the street, homeless, and someone may try to rob them. And so they may be saved, maybe a policeman comes and stops that person. But at the same time that person is still in a miserable state. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. You know, it's called daf'u ad-durr. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them from harm. Surah Al-Fil. But here in Surah Quraysh, we also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaped down the blessings upon them at the same time. So it's both. The harms are kept away from them, and at the same time, the mercy and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming down upon them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَى فِي قُرَيْشِ إِلَى فِيهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them about this ilaf. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلْيَعْبُدُ. So let them worship رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, the Lord of this house. The house that they in their hearts were already glorifying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's not just about glorifying it, but it's about worshipping the Lord of this house. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. الَّذِي, in verse 4, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ, the one who fed them, مِنْ جُوعٍ, from hunger, وَآمَنَهُمْ, and gave them safety, مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And so, in verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning two blessings upon them. And of course, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't be counted. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. But if you try to count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you'd never be able to. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling them two key blessings here of His subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي أَطَعَمَهُمْ, that they were hungry and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fed them. مِنْ جُوعٍ, and like we said earlier, that that's even a sign of the mortality of a person, their weakness. الَّذِي أَطَعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them food, وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, and gave them security after fear. Because the Meccans, and of course in the desert, they were, you may see it, it says Hiraba, and translated as highway robbery or something like that. Highway robbery, because when a person was out in the desert, they couldn't phone 911, or they couldn't, you know, they were much too far away from anybody. So when they were in the desert, that's it. It's just between them and whoever was against them. So they would take their army with them, or their protectors, their security, as they walked through the desert. And now there are people, certain tribes, such as the tribe of Daus and other tribes, whose business was to rob people who walked through the desert. They would hide for them. When they see a caravan coming, they would ambush them and take whatever they had. And that was their livelihood. But the people of Quraysh had a special place amongst the Arabs. And especially after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba, their status was raised. Because all the Arabs were saying, these are the people of the sanctuary of Allah. Meaning they're from the Haram, they're Meccans, they're Quraysh, leave them alone. You may have read an article I wrote about Surah Quraysh, and in that story, or in that article, I mentioned how in Egypt when I was young, there was a little boy that had found out that I was Egyptian. So he found out that I was from Canada, and then I spoke English, and so he took it as a chance to do like his little foreign exchange lesson. And so he said to me, he said, "You are a donkey." Right? And then and I said, "What?" He goes, "You are a donkey." And then he laughed and he ran down the street. You know, these are the streets. I was about 8 years old. And so he kept doing that. He'd come close and then he'd run down the street, say it, "You're a donkey," run down the street. Until later on in the day, he just became oblivious and he's just walking normally. And I found myself right behind the boy. And then I thought to myself, well, what should I do? And then I said, I guess I have to beat him up, right? That's what he's expecting. So we began a fight, and he was like smaller than me. His sister, when the fight broke out, he called out to his sister, and all the brothers saying, "Oh, Muhammad, you got beaten up by Egyptians." He called out to his sister, and his sister came and started pounding me. Right? So now she's twice as big as me, and she started hitting me, and then everybody called out, "Leave him. He's Kennedy. He's from Canada." And they kept saying it. "He's Kennedy, he's Kennedy." And when she realized them saying, I'm mentioning this because this is something similar to what would happen to the people of Quraysh. That just the fact that someone would say that they're from Quraysh, they would be left alone to travel freely and in the journeys that they were accustomed to. So they said, "He's Kennedy, he's Kennedy." And then she started crying, even though I was crying because of the beating. But she was crying because she had done that to a guest of that city. That was in Alexandria. Actually, when I wrote that story, my sister, she emailed me back and she goes, "I didn't know that you got beaten up at that time." And so they would say, this is mentioned in the books of Tafsir, They would say that these, whenever the people of Mecca would come by, their caravan, there's people ready to ambush them. They would say that these are the neighbors of the house of Allah, the inhabitants of the sanctuary. They are the keepers and custodians of the house, so do not harm them or oppress them. And they would leave them alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of this blessing, the ilaf, something that they're accustomed to, something that they take for granted that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you'll notice in some of these Meccan surahs, such as Surah Ar-Rahman and others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, that which one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you deny? And so the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are innumerable. But all it takes is for someone to finally admit just one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they would have to naturally go to the next stage, and that is to thank their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about accepting all the blessings. Let them just accept any single blessing, and if they truly, truly accept it, then they have to thank Allah Azza wa Jal and worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for that blessing upon them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. And even in our society, I don't think that many days have passed in our lives that we haven't had food to eat. Every time even when someone says, oh, there's nothing to eat in the fridge, there's still lots of things there, just something that the person doesn't prefer, but they have food. And they go through the lives, and we haven't had that experience of not eating. I've had the experience of not finding water in Hajj and so on. And it's a very intense and painful experience. And I don't think too many people have felt that threshold where you move beyond just thirst to actually fearing for your life because of not drinking water. So this is the blessing of the ta'am, the food. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, which is also an enormous blessing. I don't want to say this because I'm going to Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, there are like some very dangerous places, right? Of which is the area around the University of Pennsylvania. As one person said, like, you know, the McDonald's is known as, what's it called? McDeath. Right? Because of, you know, gangs and so on. But subhanAllah, even though a person has a fancy house and has the food and has everything, all it takes is for an enemy or a fear to come and will destroy any blessing upon them. Meaning that if someone fears for their lives and they go to sleep, doesn't matter how nice the bed is or how fancy the house is, they will not feel the inner security because they're afraid someone could be outside. And you'll see the people with all their alarm systems and all that, maybe someone's going to slide the door up or slip in, kill everybody or steal something. That constant fear. And like I said, we haven't felt that also. You know, like for example in Bosnia, other places where the Muslims were tested, they felt fear. And our friends that were in Medina, some of them, like Bosnian sisters and so on, they learned how to shoot guns. And they had, you know, the sisters had enormous rifles. That all of them, because the men would be going out and the women would be alone, they all knew how to shoot their guns, but they would spend the night sleeping beside their guns in case someone would come in. But when someone has that security taken away from them, then they realize the blessing of security. And it's very interesting, there was, you know, during the Gulf War, people were leaving Mecca and Medina. There were students in the University of Medina. This is, I guess, I went to Medina about a year after the Gulf War. And some of the brothers were sent home, or they went home because the war was about to start. And a brother was telling me that there was another brother. Okay, he was saying that there was a brother who was going to go back to his country, the European countries, and he chose not to. He said, of the safest places in the world, I'm going to spend these days of war at the Kaaba. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, and whoever enters it, they are safe. And he said, I fear to go back to America or fear to go to some country in the UK or in Europe. He said, but the place where I feel most safest is to go to the Kaaba and spend these days there. And in fact, the Kaaba, because Saudi at that time wasn't allowing anybody into the country, and the Kaaba was like completely empty from visitors, that the person would just come in, pray, and there was like a small gathering of people, and then go out. But he spent his days in this place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made secure. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. In this surah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. In verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so let them worship the Lord of this house. If you'll notice, it's in the Kaaba is in brackets. And no one ever asks like, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. I don't think anybody ever had that question. What house is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about? Nobody has that question. Even though it just says, let them worship the Lord of this house. What house? Everybody knows it's the Kaaba. And that actually shows, that kind of language in the Qur'an shows the enormity and the blessedness of the Kaaba. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similar to أَذَلِكَ الْكِتَابْ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that this book or that book, there's no doubt in it. And everybody knows that that book is talking about the Qur'an. And no one ever questions that. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing how enormous this Kaaba is. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, the Lord of this house. And a brother was mentioning to me, you know, at the Kaaba sometimes you have Sudais and Shurayim reciting this Maghrib Isha and the Taraweeh and so on. But there's other reciters, and some of them are old scholars from Umul Qura or something like that. And they might read very rough. Have anybody, you heard those recitations? Like it's just straight out, Bedouin style, right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. They recite like that at the Kaaba. They're very knowledgeable scholars. Hafidhahumullah. One of these ulama was reciting Surah Quraysh in Hajj time. There may be about 2 million people at the Kaaba. And then he said, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. And you know, and just that pause there. And everybody standing in front of the Kaaba. الَّذِي أَطَعْمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Allahu Akbar. And two people prostrate and bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a very enormous surah, Surah Quraysh. Allah ta'ala a'lam.